Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
What's up, y'all? Welcome in to a special Cannabis Hour edition, a special edition of Cannabis Hour. This is Elliot Lane. I am a co-host. Patrick and Javier are joining me for this one. Honestly, I love doing these, though. I love this show. I got to do a couple last week with some with a great investor, a great ancillary packaging company. This morning, I got to do one with the CEO of Columbia Care, and now I get to do one with the CEO of an amazing hemp company. I get to talk to so many cool people around, and I want your input on who you want to hear from. But you know, I think it's important for us to touch on all aspects of the industry and watch it grow simultaneously. So I'm very excited to bring on Dr. Bao Li. He's the CEO of HHemp.co. We're going to talk a little bit about the CBD side of life today, CBG, you know, where he's located, you know, what CBG is versus CBD. I'm ready to dive into some science and maybe the business opportunity of it all. So let's get started. Really excited for this conversation. As always, thanks to Aaron Thomas. He's the man with the plan, makes it all happen, and Benzinga for letting us host it. All right, Aaron, let's do it, man. There he is. Dr. Li, how are you, sir?
Hey, how's it going? Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning, my friend. It is good. It's actually like 2 o'clock where I am, but if it's morning for you, I hope it's a good one. But awesome, man. Well, it's good to have you on. This is Cannabis Hour. We talk to a majorly financially focused audience. So first and foremost, I want to hear about you, your journey into cannabis, and then a little bit about HHemp.co.
Sure. Starting briefly about my family history, I have two boys. They're 14 and 13 now, which is the crazy teenage years. Yeah. My youngest son, about the age of 2.5, we took him to get checked out, and it seemed like he was just a little off and delayed, but he was diagnosed to be on the spectrum, autistic spectrum. That was a crazy diagnosis, as you can imagine. But yeah. From that minute, I had to learn quickly how to help my son. At the age of 3, he suffered his first grand mal seizure. We're at the dinner table. Fell over, had a grand mal seizure, lasted about 30 seconds. And it was heartbreaking. So learning quickly then, now he was having, you know, 2 a day, 3 a day, 4 a day. He quickly was on some pretty heavy medication,
right,
to help him handle the seizures in his brain. But that also led to side effects. And those side effects were anger and depression. So imagine now, you have a autistic nonverbal child with seizures, and now the medicine he's taking to control his CNS from having seizures is giving him depression and anger. So then, you know, it's a combination of more, you know, medications to balance his body. He was going down that for 3 or 4 years, and I just said enough is enough. And I tried, you know, as a parent, you try everything once. I heard about how CBD and Delta 9 helped with seizures control back in 2011. So I started really early on studying plant medicine and how it could have an effect to my son. So slowly microdosing him through a tincture that I just made for my house at the time, just buying oil.
Wow.
I was just buying oil from medical dispensaries. I live in California. And just introducing him to his diet and his body. So cut the story short, about 16 weeks into microdosing him, I found a ratio of 8 to 1. It was 8 parts of a CBD. I was using ACDC strain to 1 part of sativa, which obviously I was at Gorilla Glue at the time. And I think it was just enough for his body to rest at night and remain at sleep instead of being triggered by hyperactivity in his brain. And from there, miraculously, he just start sleeping longer, recovering. About a year and a half into this regimen, I got him off of all pharmaceutical meds, and he's been seizure-free since then.
Oh, man. That's an incredible story. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Li. So a little bit more about, you know, your discovery of cannabis. Were you taking your tincture from marijuana-derived CBD? Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, so I was buying back in the day. It was just a bottle that had an Avery sticker on there that said CBD oil and THC oil. I mean, it was very early on.
Regulations. They were lighter.
Regularly early on. So, I mean, that's all, you know, as a parent, that's all I had, right? I didn't, you know, couldn't buy it online like today, or can't go to dispensaries and get a whole, you know, from amber to distillate or whatever isolate you want to use to make your tinctures. It was very grassroots back then.
Yeah, that's great to know. So you started a company, you know, from this experience. You saw it work firsthand. So I'm assuming it's a hemp-based product. You know, was that a natural lead-in, or was it a jump to go from marijuana to hemp? I'd love to understand your path to where you are.
Yeah, so in 2015, I applied for a cannabis extraction permit in the city of Berkeley, California.
Okay.
I pitched the mayor, and they asked me why I want to do it. I said, listen, I wanted to make ingredients that I trusted, because back then it was, like you said, there's no reg, there's no testing. I didn't know what's in it. So learning from a few partners in the cannabis space already, we started a company in California to extract THC and CBD. And for about 4.5-5 years, that's all I did. I was just using CO2 extraction, making back then it was amber, beautiful 72% amber. And then we started just selling it to other companies, vape pen companies, chocolate edible companies, anyone that wanted to trust our process and our COAs and making it. I mean, the biggest thing was I was telling people, hey, I'm actually making this product, which is the extraction through CO2 extraction process of the oil, to help my son with his tincture. So if it's good enough for my son, it's probably definitely good enough for your brand or company. So I built a reputation beyond to help people become compliant, right? People that using before, where are you buying your oil, right? I mean, it could have been anywhere because there's no regulations. But then when we decided to do this the right way, we wanted to work with the California Public Health Department and the municipalities in the city to make sure we're sourcing it from where we're sourcing it, extracting it through non-volatile, and then making a clean oil.
That's so fantastic.
From there, it led me to Oregon about 2019, where I was doing a project there, building a lab to remediate THC from CBD. And I just fell in love with people that are growing hemp and CBD and CBG organically. And it opened my mindset from the heavy regulations in cannabis, and rightfully so, to the open market of CBD and hemp during the Farm Bill. And now as a, you know, manufacturer and producer of THC products, I just went head into CBD and trying to make the same decisions that we're forced to make through regulation, through, you know, what the manufacturer, your facility looks like, what you plan to do, from the labeling laws to regulation to compliance, adapting all of that I learned from pre-reg to post-regulation here, legalization here in California. So it was really almost seamless for me to move into the hemp industry with what I gained in the cannabis industry.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's great to know. And I assume, you know, backing up, you know, when you look at where the CBD industry is right now, that it tends to be a very highly debatable space in terms of hemp CBD. So, you know, when you look at maybe products you can buy, maybe gummies, you know, say a person buys a gummy offline, they're like, this literally did nothing for me. So I'd love to understand like how you work with that type of, you know, stigma. You know, and how CBD hemp can or cannot be effective.
Well, thanks for the plug, because here's our mini gummies. So listen, that is the three things that I try to think about when I designed or when I started this company was, number one, does it work, right? And number two, is it cost effective? And number three, is it packaged well enough to be sold in smoke shops or CBD stores or even gas stations? So learning what we did is that, you know, there's 25 milligrams of CBG CBD in 1 6-gram gummy. We did tons of R&D. We made the gummies to 10%, 15%, all the way to 50%. And we actually spent the time to give samples to people and people to try before we stuck down with the final formulation. And, you know, it says what it says right here. We'd use a elderberry, zinc, superfoods, vitamin C, B12, and it's gluten-free, allergy-free, and all the good stuff that you would find at, I say, any Safeway or any, you know, Whole Foods, but it has active plant medicine in it. So does it make you feel relaxed? Does it make you feel a head change? It really depends on, you know, everyone's going to answer the same way, is that it depends on your body size and what tolerance you have. But in the general consensus of what 25 mg, like, you know, right now cannabis is 10 mg of, of Delta-9 is your edible maximum dose. We find 25% of CBG and CBD, not CBD by itself, but CBG distillate to add that relaxation to your shoulders and a little bit of head change. But if you're a big guy like me and a little bit overweight from courting my wife, I would take two of these.
That's really interesting. So what does CBG do exactly within the CBD? I'd love to understand a little bit more about that.
You know, when I was there, it was funny. CBG is always a minor, right? On the past test, when you see a COA of CBD, it's always like less than 2%. So 2019, the Oregon Genetics, they start doing commercially growing CBG. And the strain that we were working on is called the White. When we had post-harvest and it went through, you know, testing through the ODA to make sure that it is hemp, qualify as a hemp product, we sent out 4 or 5 samples to get it tested. And my God, it was LOQ total THC. It was LOQ non-detect CBD. It was 17% CBG. We're like, whoa, that's crazy. So obviously, I'm not going to make a lot of claims in here, but CBG is more of an enhancer to CBD that we found personally. Whether you smoke it through a flower, extract the oil, and then, you know, combine it with anything else you want to combine with, we wanted to coin that CBG is the new CBD because it actually was stronger and a little bit more noticeable when people were to smoke it and ingest it.
So smoking hemp, I mean, that tends to not be one that I see as much, you know, on the hemp market. Is that something that you all have put an emphasis on? There it is. I'm letting you do it, man. This is great.
Listen, when we took back about, I don't know, it was like a couple hundred pounds of CBG from Oregon to California, we start jarring it to the AIDS, it didn't taste that great. You know, it tastes like nuts, hay. But the effects were there. And it's funny, a lot of people that I was giving samples of the CBG to itself and mixing with their, you know, cannabis, Delta-9, and they're smoking like, wow, I actually got higher, not as high, but the high lasts longer and it wasn't like too overwhelming. So they actually like, this is a great filler. And I was like, whoa, light bulb came on. So this is a great filler for people who smoke, you know, mix it with your cannabis. If you mix it with CBG, because CBG always has the better terpene profiles, it tastes better, it smells better. So we did a one-to-one blend. So if you open our jars, it has 2 grams of CBG and 2 grams of CBD. And why did I do that? I did that because obviously when you mix it together, a little infograph on the side. If you take it out, grind it, put it back in the jar, shake it up, and then smoke in your bong, do it for you or whatever, you blended 2 phenotypes into 1. Now, I'll tell you a little trade secret. Why I did that, because I was looking at all the COAs from the CBD stuff that was on the market, and total THC is always higher than 0.3. But you know the gray area of the law of farm bills, you're looking at Delta-9, you're not looking at THCA. So all the Delta-9s were passing because they're under 0.3. But combined, it's above. And some store owners don't get that, right? I said, listen, I need to figure out how am I going to pass, because since CBG had 0 THC, I use CBD and CBD together to now all of our COAs on our website, total T is below 0.3. So I believe we're one of the first companies to kind of crack that code. So then that's why it was so easy for me to penetrate. We're in about 5,000 brick and mortar stops. We're in about 30 states right now in our hemp brand. But a lot of the buyers go, wow, you're the first brand that showed me a COA that was compliant to the farm bill now. And that's because we use CBG as a filler to CBD. But in essence, CBG enhanced the effects of CBD.
So you're looking at a kind of a long-term growth opportunity for your company, especially once federal legalization comes along and maybe hemp goes more industrial. You're actually carving out a space for your company to continue on its current course, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was back at the time when I started the company almost 2 years ago to the date, I didn't want to do another CBD brand. I was like, there's tons of out there doing a really good job.
So I used
my, I think it was the right place at the right time, dealing with amazing farmers in Oregon that were growing this crop, and like, they don't know what to do with it. Because when you looked at it and you smelled it, you smoke it, like I said, it didn't have the terpene profiles of CBD to invite someone from the D9 side or cannabis side to want to smoke or medicate with CBD plants, flower. It didn't taste great.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, being in the right place, right time, and trying to educate people about, you know, blending is good when you want to understand, you know, the effects of plant medicine.
Well, and I would imagine that most people are uneducated on that, given the fact that you have a lot of maybe like MSOs that are solely focused on the marijuana side of cannabis and push their own brands. I would imagine, you know, CBG from hemp derived is probably not as a focal point. So have you looked at partnerships, or is that something that you found people are open to or not open to thus far?
Well, funny you mentioned that again.
I'm on a roll.
You're on a roll, bud. We are collaborating with Gas House. I'm not sure if you heard of them. They're California-based.
Nice pack.
Cannabis brand. And, you know, they're friends with Cookies and Burner and Felix. Oh, cool. And I'm plugging the owners, Felix and Kingston, because they came to us at a trade show and, wow, we really like your hemp products. How do we collaborate with your brand? I said, well, what do you guys need? What form factor? So they're all into the high terpene, high effect, just like cannabis. But when you go into hemp, you have to enhance that that flower, that genetics. So by putting infusing Delta 8 into this, it's a hemp smoke. So it's 10 hemp cigarettes into a box, but it has about 60 milligrams of Delta 8. And it has enhanced with their proprietary terpene blend. So when you smell it, when you smoke it, you're definitely get euphoric, and it smells just like their cannabis flower. Well, I mean, as close as we could get it. And I think this is the next wave of that crossover you're talking about, right? I mean, to take a well-known cannabis brand, of course, with, you know, Delta 9 being, you know, the higher the quality, standards are just getting higher and higher and higher, and potencies are getting higher and higher. Well, you can take a lesser cost plant or flower, which is hemp, and you can enhance it safely.
Fantastic. So where is that now? Is that in California only or across all your 30 states?
No, they're selling on their website. And this is all, well, Delta 8 has been restricted to a few states, but that might be a different panel discussion. But Delta 8 by itself is I think like you know, the step, not step, but younger sister or brother to D9, right? It's derived from hemp plants through chemistry, and then enhanced into the flower to give you that same effect as Delta 9, but not as strong.
Do you feel so like Delta 8's here to stay?
Unfortunately, no. I think that when I first started infusing our products in January of this year, there was only 12 states, I believe, that has banned Delta 8. And now there's like 18. So the biggest one, obviously, California has also banned Delta 8 on the AB 45 reg. You know, good and bad, right? I think that in general, if you have states that don't have medical or recreational cannabis and people need this for relief, there's a gray area. But if you have companies like us that are lab testing it, producing it, making sure it's safe for people to medicate with, and it's under right now the Hemp Farm Bill Act as a, you know, a derivative from hemp CBD plants, I'm not a politician, but I'm just letting you know that I do it because I think that people that need it can have it and trust in a safe manner than the gray area or the, you know, where else we can get it.
So before we run out of time, I'd like to understand a little bit more about the operations side of your business. And is the e-commerce like the biggest, is that the biggest side, or is it the storefront that runs most of your revenues?
Right now it's storefronts because we came out pushing these flower jars, and people that tried it loved it. And because I wanted to get the low-hanging fruit, right? So if the topic is, if you were to have an investor want to invest into a cannabis, a hemp company, I would look at the brand play and the sourcing play. The reason why is because farming and manufacturing, like oil extraction, that's a very hard lane to be successful. Mm-hmm. But the branding, manufacturing, sourcing, packaging, out to market is what I think that I want to focus in. So manufacturing to me is sourcing the flower from great farms, sourcing the oil from great labs, and making products that people are used to recognizing. And if they have a great experience, they'll come back and buy more. It's mm-hmm. not a very hard combination. But if you do it right in all sectors, and you have what I learn a lot is product market fit. If you have product market fit, then people trust your brand because you're innovating the brand so that it helps people instead of profitability.
Absolutely. All right, my friend. So as we kind of wrap this up, I'd love to understand more about the direction of, is it hhemp.co or is it hempco, or how would you like me to say that?
Yeah, the H is silent, but yeah, it is. It's spelled hhemp.co, but it's pronounced hempco.
Hempco. All right. That's a lot easier on me than hhemp.co.
Yeah. The direction is, I believe, top line revenue, mm-hmm. expansion, and just getting to as many stores as we can to partner with stores and distributions. Online right now to us, not a main focus, but we definitely have an online presence. I just believe that building a brand to me would be, going to a CBD store or a smoke shop or a distribution, sit down with them, what their needs, what they sell the most, give them samples, educate their staff, educate their buyers, and continue educating and providing the knowledge and free samples. We send tons of free samples out. Because
I'll send you my address after this.
Yeah, done. because I think that's what I've learned from dispensaries, right? I mean, in the dispensary side of California, I know hundreds. And you need to make your consumer trust you, right? It's not about the price tag. It's about if the consumers love your product, they're going to love your brand, and they're going to continue supporting you. Whatever you do, whatever you make, they're mm-hmm. just going to, the trust is always there.
Well, thank you for that. And I completely agree. It seems quality of product, when speaking about brands, is the overarching through line to everybody I talk to nowadays. Interesting how it's shifted from brands don't really matter to the focus people are taking to make brands matter. So it's nice to hear that from yourself as well. Dr. Bao Li, really appreciate you being here with us today. It looks like you have an awesome array of products. I have one final question. Yeah. What is your staple? What is your staple product for Hemco?
I believe right now, by the way, is our tinctures. So we are, I know, I'm sorry, I didn't plan it, but I got this thing behind
me. No, it's great. I love it.
Listen, the tinctures for wellness, the tinctures for calm, focus, and rest, and D8, not only does it help mental health, but that's why I do what I do, because of my son, right? So for me to go out with the tincture line to help people with, anxiety, depression, I'm not going to name all the ailments because we can't do that, but people know that it helps them. And we're supporting great veterans groups. 100% of the profits, all the profits go to veterans groups. And if you go to our website, we do have we have stuff for veterans and to help and all that stuff. So I think the staple to me is wellness. It's not one product. It's the entire line of wellness that I can take all of my experience through a highly regulated, highly challenging, highly taxed, industry like cannabis, and try to be the thought leader and the brand leader to help not just my brand, but other brands succeed. Because I think that as a community, we should help each other.
There it is. Dr. Bao Li.
Awesome.
Making every product count and making it the best it can be. So you're not going to go wrong. Thank you so much again for being here. Really appreciate you chatting with our audience today. I look forward to maybe a follow-up sometime next year, see how it's going with you. But after that, man, we will get this out soon to our audience and looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
I can't wait, and I won't plug so much stuff next time, I promise.
I love visuals. Visuals are great. Okay. I think our audience loves visuals too. So.
Awesome.
Thanks so much again, Dr. Bao Li.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Awesome, y'all. This was a fun interview for me. Hemp and CBD and CBG is always a good topic of conversation because that space, it has a lot of questions. So hearing from executives like Dr. Li in the space and what their thoughts are on the direction of the space, the future, and the current status of the space is super important to understanding the business and investment opportunities of that industry. So really appreciate him being on here. Seems like a really solid company. I actually really would love to try those tinctures. So looking forward to that next time I get the opportunity. Thanks again, y'all. Let us know who you want to hear from. CannabisHourBenzinga.com. Outside of that, Cannabis Hour every Tuesday at 4:30, every Thursday at 4, Cannabis Daily on Benzinga.com/podcasts, every day at 10 a.m. See you next time.